Now, boys and girls, you were learning this week. I was listening carefully to John, and he was saying the boys and girls were learning this week the five W's: who God is, what the Bible is. What was the next one? Who can tell me? Who can remind me? Yes, beside Louise. Say that again. Where sin came from. Why we need to be saved. That's right. That's four of them. Okay, I'm not going to go for the fifth one just in case I don't get it. But when I listened to those five W's, okay, it reminded me of a story in the Bible. And it was a story about the Apostle Paul. And we read about it in Acts chapter 17. Paul was an apostle of the Lord Jesus. He was a minister of the gospel. He was a missionary. And Paul traveled through the world. Okay, mostly the Roman Empire at that time. In Europe, and then where we would know today as Turkey. And if you don't know where that is, well, you get your mommy and daddy to get, we would have said get the map out, but probably Google Maps now is where you will go to. And you will see that area of Turkey and then into Greece and Europe. And Paul traveled the world telling men and women about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 17, we read about Paul, and he got chased out of Thessalonica, as a city in Greece. And then he had to leave Berea. That was another town or city. And it tells us that he came to Athens. And Athens, of course, if my geography's right, is the capital of Greece. And he came to Athens with the gospel message. And because of what happened, he came to a place, and that's a city, or that's a picture of the city of Athens, boys and girls. And he came to a place called Mars Hill. And he began to teach a vast crowd about God. And something made him do this. His heart was stirred and moved to tell the people of Athens all about the gospel. Because we read in Acts 17 that as Paul traveled throughout the city of Athens, and while he was waiting on his friends and his companions to come, he saw something. Something that moved him. Something that troubled him. Because Acts 17 tells us that he saw an altar. Boys and girls, an altar was where men and women, particularly in Old Testament times, and Paul was just at the start of the New Testament, and they hadn't really got past the altar. But an altar was a place where, particularly in Old Testament times, men and women worshipped God. That was, we come to God's house, and we come together to worship God, and we would gather around the Bible, and we would preach the Bible. But in Old Testament times, they gathered in the temple, and other nations copied Israel. They had an altar where they worshiped God. And in the city of Athens, Paul saw this altar where the people would have gathered at a particular time in the week to worship a god. Okay? And Paul was really troubled by what he saw on that altar. What did he see on the altar? There was an inscription, or there was words written over that altar that said, "To the unknown God." In other words, boys and girls, mums and dads, when the people of Athens came to this altar, they were saying that they were worshipping a God, but they didn't know who he was. They didn't know anything about him. They believed that there was a God. They believed that God existed, but they knew nothing about him. They didn't really know what he was like. They didn't really know what he had done, where he resided, or anything about him. But they just wanted to worship God. And when Paul saw this, he was troubled. Because you see, Paul knew who God was. He knew there was one God, and he knew who God was. How did Paul know who God was? He knew about God because he had the Bible, the Old Testament, and the Lord revealed himself to Paul in the Damascus Road, and Paul knew then who God was and what he was like and what he had done because he had the revelation of God's Word, the Bible. And so Paul, seeing that the people of Athens, they were religious, they believed in God, but they didn't know anything about him. He went to that place, Mars Hill, and all the people, many of the people from Athens, they gathered to hear what he was going to tell them. And he began to preach and tell them who God was and what he had done. I wonder tonight, are you in God's house? And that really describes you. Before we go any further, that really describes you. You wouldn't deny that there is a God. You look at creation and you think, yes, there's a creator. Someone or a being had to design and create the world. You don't believe the theory of evolution. You believe in the existence of God, but you don't really know anything more about him. You don't know what he's like. You don't know what he has done. You know very little about him. Well, Paul was moved to tell the people of Athens what God was like. And tonight, very quickly, I want to share three things with you that Paul taught about God. First of all, he taught that God is the Creator. And there, in verse 24, let me read it to you. He says, God, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein. Boys and girls, mums and dads, God created the world, created this planet that we live in and we live on, created the heavens and the earth and the sea. He created the universe, the sun and the moon, the planets. The Bible says he made the stars also. The Bible says he made all of the animals and he put man over the animals. The animals don't rule over men, but men have dominion, authority, power over the animal kingdom. But they're God's creatures. He made them. He made the mountains and he made the seas. And that tells me that God is all powerful. The Bible tells us God has unlimited power. He just has to speak the word and it happens. He is an all-powerful God. And when we look at creation and we see all that God created, we think how mighty and how powerful God is. But the Bible goes on to tell us that he made all things, and included in the all things, God made man. And I'm sure Miss Logan told you during the week that God took the dust of the ground and he made Adam's body. And then the Lord came down into the garden and he breathed into Adam's nostrils and Adam began to live. He became a living soul. Then he put Adam to sleep and he took from Adam's side his rib. And he made the woman from Adam's side. And the Bible tells us God made man. That's man and woman. Man became a living soul. God gave Adam and Eve something distinct from the animals. You see, when the animals die, they don't have a soul. But the Bible tells us that man has a soul that will live forever. Even when our bodies die, our soul will live forever. God created man in his own image. He gave him an immortal soul. Boys and girls, Adam was given one law in the Garden of Eden, that he would not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Adam and Eve disobeyed God's law. They sinned. Sin is disobedience to God's law. And Adam and Eve, after they were created, they broke God's law and they became sinners in the sight of God. And all of their offspring and all of their children They all became sinners in the sight and before the Lord. God is our Creator. He's created the world. He has made us in His own image. He has given us a soul, and we are accountable to Him. And one day we must stand before Him, and we'll see that in a few moments. So, boys and girls, I want you to remember, mums and dads, God, who is God? He is the Creator. He has all power. He fills all time and space. He doesn't dwell in one little temple or one little building. He fills all time and space. He is the all-powerful God, the Creator of all. So God is the Creator. But then, secondly, Paul taught the people in Athens that God is the Savior. See, whenever man sinned, God's will for man when he sinned was that man would seek the Lord. And it tells us there in the chapter we read, Acts 17, verse 26 and 27, it speaks about all nations. You see, God made mankind and He said to populate all the earth and all the nations tonight. That's all of God's creation. And He spoke of God's desire for all nations, not just Northern Ireland, not just the United Kingdom or the Republic of Ireland, not just France or Germany, but all of the nations of the world, that all nations, that they should seek the Lord. You see, when man sinned, God sent forth His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. He was born of Mary 2,000 years ago, and He was born for one reason. He was born to go to this place, boys and girls. Does anybody know where that is? Any of the boys and girls? Place that Jesus went to. Where was that? Do you know? Do you know? No. Does any of the older ones know? Yes. Calvary. Good boy. You see, Calvary's called the place of the skull. And I don't know, that's not a great picture. But can you see, that's one of the little hills outside the city of Jerusalem. And can you see there, there's like two eyes in the side of the cliff face. And then below that you can see there's a bit that almost looks like, or in between the two eyes, there's a bit that looks maybe like a nose, and a wee line at the bottom looks like a bit like a mouth. And that's why they call it the place of the skull, Calvary. Jesus was born. He came into the world to die on the cross of Calvary, to shed His blood so that our sins could be forgiven. And boys and girls, moms and dads, that's the only way that our sins can be forgiven. We can be made right with God because of what Jesus did upon the cross. And Paul said to the people at Athens that if you want to be right with God, if you want peace with God, then you have to seek Him. What the verse says, that all, that they should seek the Lord. And there are some verses in the Bible that speak about seeking the Lord. Here's one, Amos 5 and 6. Seek ye the Lord and ye shall live. If you seek the Lord, you'll have everlasting life. Now, how do we seek the Lord? Well, the Bible tells us we seek Him in prayer. We call upon the Lord and we ask Him for forgiveness. That's how we seek the Lord today, boys and girls. When we pray to God in Jesus' name, the Bible tells us He hears us and He will answer our prayers. So we're to seek Him in prayer. We are to seek Him by faith. We are to believe that He exists. We're to believe that He is God, that Jesus is His Son, and that what Jesus did on the cross will make us right with God. And God will accept us because of what Jesus did on the cross. So we're to seek Him in prayer. We're to seek Him by faith. And then we are to seek Him with repentance. What does that word repentance mean? Well, very briefly, it means that we are sorry for our sins. The things that we do that are against His law, the things that we do that displease Him, that we seek Him with a heart that is genuinely sorry for our sin. Boys and girls, the Bible tells us if we seek the Lord, we shall have everlasting life. Have you sought Him for the forgiveness of your sins? Called upon Him by faith with a heart that is genuinely sorry for the sin you've committed? But there's another wee verse in the Bible talks about seeking the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. We have to seek Him now. That's the message of the Bible. You see, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know how long we have on this earth. And so the Bible tells us, you seek the Lord now. Don't you put it off to your older in life. Don't put it off until you can sort other things out in your life. You seek the Lord now. That's what the Bible says, because we don't know what could happen, even tonight or tomorrow. And who is to seek the Lord? Well, we come back to that little phrase in verse 24. God made the world and all things therein. And it tells us in the verses that follow, verse 26, He hath made of one blood all nations. He wants everybody to seek Him. He wants you to seek Him. He'll not turn you away because you're from Northern Ireland. No, He says all the nations. And whether a man or a woman, a boy or girl, is from the nations of the east or the nations of the west, the nations of the north or the nations of the south, if you seek the Lord, you seek Him in prayer with faith and repentance, He will forgive your sins. So Paul taught them, God is the Creator, God is the Savior. One final thing, he taught them that God is the Judge. You see, in verse 31, we read these words, He, that is God, hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man who He hath ordained. God has ordained. He has said it in His word that one day Jesus Christ will judge the world. And the Bible tells us He's going to return to this earth, not as a baby, but He's going to come back from heaven and He's going to establish a great white throne. And everybody that has ever lived will have their time when they will come before that throne. And He will judge them for their life on earth. It tells us that the books will be opened. You see, God's keeping a record of our lives, boys and girls. He's keeping a record of all that we have done. And one day, He will judge us out of those books. And He will judge us for our lives. And the primary thing, now He'll judge us for all of our lives, but the primary thing He's going to judge us by is whether we have accepted Jesus Christ to be our Savior in faith and if we have sought Him, or whether we have rejected Him. Who is God? God is a spirit. But God is our Creator. God is the Savior. And God one day will be our judge. As the men and women of Athens listened to Paul's sermon, it tells us that as he finished, some of them mocked. They laughed. They didn't believe. Others said, "We'll hear you about these matters some other time." And it also tells us that some believed. And as we come to a close tonight, and you've listened really well, boys and girls, and I want to thank you for that, I want to ask you, as you hear the message about God, God the Creator, God the Savior, God the Judge, what will you do? You going to say, no, that's not for me? You going to mock and say, that's just a lot of old nonsense, and laugh like some of the people in Athens? Or will you believe the gospel message and seek the Lord for the salvation of your immortal and never dying soul? May the Lord bless His word to all of our hearts. And may the boys and girls and the adults believe the gospel.